Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. We're live on the air right now to talk about the basic gospel and how it intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. The number 1-800-677-9377. We invite your calls right now. Don't wait. Call now. 1-800-677-9377. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go directly to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with Brad, listening to us on the internet today. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Bob, and Bob and Richard.
Hey, Brad.
Great day. Also, thank God for WFIA out of Louisville, because in 1987, that's where I first got introduced to People to People, now Basic Gospel. My question, you know, I was listening to yesterday's program toward the end. You made a very good point about not going beyond or trying to put something in the Word of God that's really not there. And I got to thinking about so many discussions I have with, my wife and other people that like to take things in the Old Testament, apply them to our life in Christ. And one of the things that they like to talk about is sin and abominations, and that, oh, there's different degrees and different levels of sin, and there's the things that God hates where he specifies certain activities, and they say abominations are this and sins are this. And I know after the resurrection, there's only one sin that needs to be dealt with in people's lives, and that's the sin of unbelief. Can you discuss abominations and sins and exactly what view should people have, the Christian have, about sin itself?
Well, Brad, good question. I think a lot of us wonder if there are different levels of sin, and if there are different levels of sin, that means there's different punishments for sin like that. I think that's very common in human thinking. But from God's vantage point, you know, all sin is the same as far as punishment is concerned. The wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter if you slander. It doesn't matter if you murder. It doesn't matter if you commit idolatry or adultery or have covetousness in your heart. It is all sin, and the wages of that is death. I think when you read through the Old Testament, that is the message that comes through loud and clear. Sin, you die. Sin, you die. Just time and time again, that theme reoccurs. It just over and over and over and over till finally you get to the point, then how in the world am I going to be saved? And that's the whole issue. And and there's only one way to be saved, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why what you said in your question, that the only sin that really matters at this point, and it's not so much a sin, it's a condition. We're unbelievers. That's who we are by nature. That needs to change. And when this gospel message hits our hearts, that changes. We go from unbelief to belief, from unbeliever to believer in Christ Jesus. And that changes everything for us.
It sure does. Thank you for that answer. And one more comment or a kind of question to you. We're encouraged, and I don't want to say commanded and stuff, but we're encouraged in the New Testament with regards to the Word of God to rightly divide this Word. And I understand in the Greek that rightly dividing the Word of God actually means cutting it straight or making it straight, which I take, put things together that go together.
Well, that's kind of the way it is. I take that whole passage to mean handle it accurately.
Mm-hmm.
With precision.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, listen, thank you very much. And I love you guys, and I love Basic Gospel. And thank you for being there.
Well, thank you, Brad. Good question today. And hope that answered it adequately. And I do think for a lot of us, we try to categorize sins.
Oh yeah,
and that's human thinking. But at some point we have to look at it how God does, and that's to say it for what it is. The wages of sin is death.
Well, again, it shows our selfishness. I want to know if if I've sinned and if I'm lost, how long I'm going to burn. And as long as I burn less time than you, then I'm happy. Well, that's a completely wrong way of looking at it. The most innocent sin ever committed killed Jesus. That's the way you have to look at it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Lyndhurst, New Jersey, and talk with Adam, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Adam.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. I listened to the show a couple weeks back, and I heard a caller call in about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you guys stated your point in regards to the fact that every believer is baptized at the moment of conversion. Was that correct or accurate as to what your stance was on that doctrine? My question is, would be then, you know, the way at least I read the book of Acts and 1 Corinthians is the fact that every instance that we see in the book of Acts, it was a separate and subsequent event to salvation. Now, these were clearly believers beforehand in the way they were stated. Also, the idea and the doctrine of the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, which is spoken about in the book of Acts, is never a way to essentially convene salvation to another, if that makes sense. There's never a laying on of hands for somebody to be saved. They're imparting salvation to somebody. So just hoping you guys could speak on that a little bit, because
okay.
Just trying to get as much clarity as possible.
Be glad to. I'm going to take you through a couple of passages. Okay, we're going to start in Matthew 16. And there is a wonderful, wonderful conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. It takes place in a little town far north Israel, Caesarea Philippi. The most compelling question ever asked, ever posed, was brought up in that conversation. Who do you say that I am? Jesus started it. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And then he switched it to them. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So Peter was given some keys. Actually, the apostles were given keys to the kingdom of heaven. And we see those keys being used in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 1, where Jesus says to the disciples, "I want you to wait in Jerusalem. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses." Well, that happened on the day of Pentecost. They received the power. Peter stood up and proclaimed Jesus Christ. And that was the first time that Peter used the key to the kingdom of heaven. He unlocked a door for the Jewish people to enter in. On that day, the gift of God's Spirit was given to the Jewish people. You move forward to Acts chapter 8. You see Philip talking with some Samaritans. Peter and James and John were summoned. They go to Samaria. They confirm that the gospel message had been presented. They use the key again and open the door to heaven. God's Spirit is given to the Samaritan people. Then in Acts chapter 10, Peter summoned to Caesarea by the sea. He goes into the centurion's household. And he starts proclaiming the same message that he did on the day of Pentecost, that this Jesus is both Lord and God. He is resurrected. He's alive today. And as he did, the Holy Spirit came upon Gentiles. So that was the third instance where Peter used the key to unlock the doors of heaven for a particular people group. So we see first to the Jew, then to the Samaritan, and then to the Gentile. And that was the pattern set forth by Jesus early on in the book of Acts. So we're not to take doctrine from that. We're just to look at that and say, wow, this gospel message truly is for all people. It wasn't just a Jewish gospel, and it's certainly not just a Gentile gospel. God had in mind all nations of the world, and we see that happening in the book of Acts. And then as they convened their council in Acts 15, Peter stood up and said that God shows no favoritism. He has given the gift of his Spirit to all people groups, both Jew and Gentile. So why should we burden Gentiles with a yoke that we've never been able to bear? So that's the pattern that was set. That was the unlocking of the door to those people groups. Once those doors were unlocked, then the gospel flowed freely in each of those segments, and every person who received, the moment they received, they were placed in to the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. That was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we stand together as one new man, a new creation in Christ Jesus, Jew, Samaritan, Gentile, all one in this body of Christ.
Well, I certainly respect the doctrinal position that you just put forward. The question I would then follow up with is, so who can use those keys? Is it for all believers? Was it just for the apostolic age? Was it just for Peter? And if it's not for believers today, and it's not a subsequent act to salvation, then where in Scripture does it support essentially a cessationalist point of view, which I thought that almost sounded where you were going with that, as far as Peter was unlocking and it was given to the apostles. You know, my question is that if Peter had that ability at that time,
well, that's what the gospel message is. It's the key. So if you tell Adam, say, you meet Bill on the street, and you all strike up a conversation, and that conversation moves to the things of the Lord, and you have the opportunity to share the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, and say to Bill straight into his eyes, you know, Jesus Christ is both Lord and God. He was raised from the dead, and he's offering you life today. And Bill says, wow, you know, I feel empty inside. I was at the end of my rope, and now you're offering me hope. I want Jesus to come into my life. And he responds to that. Well, you've just unlocked the door to heaven in Bill's life. He's received the life of Christ, has been born again, has been placed into the body of believers. He was added that particular day. So it's not that you know, the gospel message isn't still opening the door of heaven for people. It is. But back in the book of Acts, it was accompanied by some signs and wonders to show forth what was happening. Today we know that based on what the Word of God says and the completeness of the Word of God, that anyone who believes, they're born again, they receive the gift of God's Spirit.
I understand and respect that, and as a pastor, I absolutely understand the value of witnessing and the fact of binding and loosing when it comes to salvation and when it comes to the ability to share the gospel message, watch somebody be born again, and see them give their life to Christ. I don't debate that for a second. You know, what I still am looking, I guess, for a clearer answer on is the fact that the instances that we see in the book of Acts, these were already believers. So I don't believe the giving of the Holy Spirit or the receiving of the Holy Spirit at that time refers to salvation. It's actually referring to
Let me ask you this, Adam. When the disciples were following Jesus before his death, burial, and resurrection, had they received the gift of God's Spirit?
They were saved. I certainly believe they were disciples, and they were saved, and they were had a place in the kingdom of God. But as far as the subsequent act of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the first time we see that is the day of Pentecost.
Right.
And that's just to go back Jesus has said, is, I will send another comforter. I will send a helper.
Right.
I will send one to be with
you. And there was a time frame for that. Jesus could not send the Spirit until he had ascended into heaven. We see that in John 7. So once he's ascended, then he sends the Spirit. He's given the gift of the Spirit, and he sends that down on people. And we see that happening in a particular order, first Jew, then the Gentile, and we see that taking place in the book of Acts. And once all those people groups were included, now the Spirit is freely given to anyone who receives. So they may have been believers in the sense that they identified that Jesus was the Lord, but God had not chosen to give the gift to the Samaritans until that particular moment. And he had not chosen to give it to the Gentiles at large until that particular moment. So I think those are historical accounts. I think today this gospel message, when we receive the fullness of God on that particular day, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, Adam, I sure appreciate the interaction and the conversation. Been excellent.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you. Can I put you on hold? I'd love to interact with you further. You said you were a pastor. I'd love to get to know you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Hey, hang on, Adam. Okay. You hold on.
With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. This is Basic Gospel. And friends, we're less than a week away from the end of our offer for the new series and study guide called Gateway to Grace, yours in July for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request yours, simply go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, or go to our website, basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Cleveland, Ohio, talk to Agnes listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Agnes.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just want to say how much I enjoy Basic Gospel on the air, and especially on yesterday when you talked about seeking the Lord. It really set me free. Because, I mean, I've heard in churches that seeking, you know, come seek the Lord and pray. And I just didn't think that was right. Because, I mean, I thought he was already in my heart. So why do I need to seek him? So you answered that, and that was so good.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your program. Well, you know, I was so codependent when I was a child. I went to churches that were full of legalism, and I was born again in 1984. Then I had so much joy for about 2 months. Then I thought, now that I'm saved, I need to pray to God to help me, not to help me, but to answer my questions. And then I thought I had to do it myself in my own effort, like to evangelize. Yeah. And I'd end up being like a doormat to people. And then I felt so guilty or so phony because I wasn't acting. I mean, I was just acting out. I wasn't real. Yeah. And being willing to tell people of Jesus. Then I became, I believe it was legalism. I was in bondage because I didn't know what was right. There were so many, I noticed so many contradictions in the Bible. So I just would not understand what was going on. I was so codependent on pastors. I put them on pedestals.
Well, Agnes, we always want to know what we're supposed to do. I mean, that's the big question. That's the question that drives us into the Word of God. That's the question that drives us to pray. You know, Lord, what am I supposed to do in this situation? What am I supposed to do to be saved? What am I supposed to do to grow and flourish as a believer? What am I supposed to do? And whenever we go into the Word of God with that mindset, we miss the real message, because the real message of the Bible is this is what Jesus has done. This is who he is, and this is what he's done. And if we'll ever get a hold of that, you know, our whole Bible study, our whole relationship with the Lord changes. It goes from one of trying to live up to rules and regulations to an experience of rest in what he's accomplished for us. And with that, we truly get to experience freedom. So this is a big, big, big deal, Agnes. And the fact that you're talking about it, you know, it's just indicative that, you know, it's commonplace. I've said this, we're all natural born legalists, every single one of us. And we approach God trying to do everything we can to please him, to gain his love, to gain his acceptance, and we just fall flat on our faces. We can't do it.
I know. I tried, and I kept thinking something was wrong with me. Why can't I stop doing this?
Yeah.
And then I got a mentor, a lady who helped me with counseling, and she knows about the grace walk, and she was very gentle, and she helped me see.
Well, that's
that I was in legalism, and that really set me free.
Well, that's a blessing to have somebody like that in your life to point you to truth. And we sure appreciate you tuning into the broadcast, and thanks for your kind words for yesterday.
Yes, indeed.
You're welcome.
Okay, Agnes.
Thank you, Agnes. We'll look forward
to hearing from you again. Let's go to New York and talk with Karen, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Karen.
Hi, I have two quick questions. The wages of sin is death. Do you mean, is it physical death or spiritual death? Because we're all going to die someday. And the next thing is, you know, no one's perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. And, you know, Christians will always backslide. I'm getting older now, and I'm starting to become riddled with fear about regrets from the past. And the enemy's really got me in a stronghold, and I'm so mad at myself because I was baptized. I live in New York, but I lived in Florida for a while, and I was baptized in Florida in water. And you know, I went back to drinking and smoking on and off throughout the years. And so you said there were different levels or degrees of sin. My second question is, do I have to be rebaptized again?
No, Karen, you don't need to be rebaptized. Let's just go through a couple of things. You know, the wages of sin is death. That hit us on all levels. When Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't die physically that day. Adam lived to be 930 years of age, but he did die spiritually. There was a separation that occurred between him and God, and the same took place with Eve. And they passed on that spiritual death to all of us. But spiritual death eventually led to physical death. God never intended for any of us to die, but these bodies, because of sin, they die. So sin had a consequence both at the spiritual level and at the physical level. And the gospel restores both. We are first born again of the Spirit. We are regenerated. And then we have the promise of a brand new body, a resurrected body. So all things will be restored. But Karen, as far as regrets over the past, here's the good news. God remembers your sins no more. Because of the blood of Christ, Karen, there's nothing more for you to do. Jesus's sacrifice was sufficient. So your sins, Karen, all of them have been forgiven.
You sin again? So you have to just confess, repent, and move forward. Stop going back.
Well,
if I sinned yesterday and I didn't sin today in that particular area, then I just ask Jesus for forgiveness and that's it? Or do I have to?
Well, I think Jesus looked at that sin 2,000 years ago. He's already dealt with it. He's already punished it. And he was punished for that. So you just rest in that. We're about out of time, Karen. Let me put you on hold. I think we have some resources that could be invaluable to you, okay?
Okay.
You hang on.
Friends, Basic Gospel is funded only by you, our listeners. And in more ways than one, you are the reason this program is on the air live each day. Time is running close for you to request your CD Bible study series called Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount. To complete your gift and request yours, visit basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Or call 1-800-727-2828. Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Remember, 6 messages to help you see the truth about many of our long-held traditional religious beliefs and show you the truth about the way they affect our lives every day. Also, don't forget, social media is a very effective way to let others know what you're thinking, and we think it would be great if you would like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.